Hi, I'm Hannah Gelbart in London.
And I am Ruksha Mukherjee in Delhi.
We're starting this episode with a question. Was India's spy agency involved in the murder of a Canadian citizen in June? On Monday, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that Canadian intelligence agencies were looking into, quote, credible allegations that India's government may have had links to the assassination of a Canadian citizen. His name was Hardeep Singh Nijjar, and he was a Sikh separatist.
India's government has dismissed Canada's allegations as absurd. That's put a huge strain on relations between the two countries.
Any involvement of a foreign government in the killing of a Canadian citizen on Canadian soil is an unacceptable violation of our sovereignty.
India has expelled a senior Canadian diplomat as relations between the two countries worsen.
The relationship between the Indian and Canadian prime ministers is not very warm. In fact, right now, you might say it's in the deep freeze.
Now, if you've ever seen a spy movie, or even if you watch the news, you probably have some idea of America's CIA, the UK's MI6, or Russia's FSB. They're essentially spy agencies that gather foreign intelligence, often in clandestine ways and through secret contacts.
But Hannah, how much do you know about India's spy agency?
To be honest, I don't know very much about it. I do know it's called the Research and Analysis Wing, or RAW for short. So in this episode, I'm going to be asking you, Ruksha, what in the world is India's spy agency? So Ruksha, what has reaction been like in India to this whole big Canada story?
Indians have mostly on social media and even mainstream media, they have been scathing in their criticism of Justin Trudeau, where a lot of Indian outlets have said that you know, this is a new low in ties between India and Canada, and it is basically Trudeau's way to get some support politically within Canada, because the Sikh population is quite a powerful community within Canada. So all sorts of allegations coming in from Indian media. It also said that it will only make India-Canada relations worse. And most of them have supported the Indian government's response so far in this row.
What about Indian citizens and, you know, netizens, people chatting on social media? Do Indians know much about their own spy agency?
There is some idea about RAW, you know, there's stories that keep coming up. It's mainly about these kind of heroic figures. One of them is this RAW agent called Ravindra Kaushik in the 70s. He was this really popular one, and even the Prime Minister of the time, Indira Gandhi, called him the Black Tiger. So these are celebrated as fables among in the Indian public imagination. Another major thing within popular culture is Bollywood films in the last decade or so have started showing these larger-than-life fictitious RAW agents who are taking on some kind of impossible tasks in other countries and securing India's interests. And these films have made a lot of money at the box office, have been blockbusters. So within Indian popular imagination, these Bollywood films based on RAW agents and spies, that has been a dominating narrative.
Now, let's go back to the beginning. When was RAW founded, and why did India need a spy agency in the first place?
It was founded in 1968, following India's wars with China and Pakistan, respectively, 1962 and 1965-66 with Pakistan. There was a need to have an external agency that can further India's interests and also run these covert influence operations across South Asia region. There was also a kind of cooperation with other agencies because there were this insurgency happening within India. There was a threat of militants in the Indian Run Kashmir area. There was also China's claims in the northeastern regions. So there was a need to have some coordination, some technical expertise combined with human intelligence that could be dealing with all these internal threats for India.
And over time, its focus has shifted to other countries. Where is it looking at now?
the focus still now has been on Pakistan and China and the rest of South Asia. So there have been a lot of reports which are also have been in certain cases rebutted by the Indian government, where foreign countries have accused India of trying to influence elections or even government operations in those countries. But these allegations have always been denied by India. But time and again, there are these books that come out that are written by ex-RAW agents about how India did certain operations, especially in the 70s and 80s, which were the early years. So China and Pakistan have been the two countries where RAW has focused a lot of their energies on, especially there is publicly available material on several RAW activities around the conflict with Pakistan. There's also been this kind of covert influence operations that have perhaps run in countries like Nepal and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, where India has tried to keep some kind of, tried to keep friendly governments.
So what are the main issues or groups that RAW is concerned with? Like, you know, are Sikh separatists high on their agenda?
The Sikh separatist group, the Khalistan, pro-Khalistan movement, it's a movement to carve out a sovereign state for Sikhs from the northern Indian state of Punjab. Khalistan is the separate sovereign state that a strand of the Sikh community are seeking to carve out from the Punjab state of India. Pro-Khalistan movement has been at center of RAW interest for a very long time, starting with the 80s when the Khalistan movement, it was a very violent movement leading to several political killings in India, bombings, and at that time it was said that RAW was in collaboration with different agencies there across the world. They were trying to contain this movement within India. So even after the Khalistan movement, it was kind of outlawed in India. Some of these groups have been operating outside India, within the Indian diaspora, and that's where RAW's efforts have been focused on in the last decade or so.
Rupsha, thank you for that. There is so much information. We're going to head to Nigeria now. Music fans there have been mourning the death of the 27-year-old Afrobeat star Mobad. He died last week. The exact circumstances have not been made public, and in recent days, his fans have taken to the streets calling for justice. Here's Yusuf Akinpelu, who's a BBC reporter from our Lagos bureau.
Hi, Hannah. It's Yusuf. Here are five things you need to know about Mobad. 1. Mobad was a big Afrobeat star who had large following among many young Nigerians and Africans.
He was best known for his hit singles, Kokoke. And a couple of times he's even been nominated for one of the biggest awards in Nigeria, that's Edis. And a whole lot of other awards that he's been shortlisted for. Within the short, about just 3 years or so of his launch into the national consciousness in the country.
2, he used to work with another Afrobeat star, Naira Marley, who owns a record label, Malian Records.
He joined Malian Records in 2019.
But both men soon fell out. Naira Marley, who has been at the eye of the storm, is one of the big Afrobeat star. His Malian Records and himself are known for singing rebellious, non-conformist, sometimes lewd songs, and with very much streetwise relatable lyrics, and is well known internationally.
So ever since the fallout, there has been back and forth where he's accused Malian Records of allegedly sabotaging his tours, saying organizers would cancel his tours at the last minute because he decided to join another record label. Naira Marley himself denied any wrongdoing.
3, the circumstances surrounding Mobad's death are still not clear, but there are investigations ongoing.
He died on Tuesday, last Tuesday, September 12th.
There has been a local media report that said a source told them that he had come to a hospital in Lagos to seek treatment for an ear infection, although that has not been confirmed. However, authorities have said they will exhume his body for an autopsy and carry the public along on what they find. For protests have erupted across Nigeria with Justice for Mohbad trending. He had said in a couple of videos that Malian Record members were hounding him and harassing him. He had shown bruises on his body and how people whom he said were members of Malian Record were inflicting pain on him. 5, Neramali has denied wrongdoing. Neramali and his record label had released a statement saying they were committed to assisting authorities during the investigation, as they were saddened by the death of their former employee, and they pledged to assist with uncovering, in their words, any foul play or injustice.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of What in the World. I'm Hannah Gelbart, and I'm going to be here with the team and our friends of the pod like Rupture every single weekday, Monday to Friday, helping to explain what in the world is going on.
And don't forget to follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts if you want to hear more stories from India.
Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye.